This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Hello, this is Lana on Radio 314. Ken Roll is a natural health educator, inventor, and cutting-edge researcher. Today we're reaching far and wide and we'll talk about neutralizing radiation, chemtrails, GMOs, EMF, water fuel technology, and then get into mind control and ETs. Hi, Ken. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, it's great to be here.
I came across your YouTube channel, Fresh and Alive, where I heard your excellent presentation on how to neutralize radiation and chemtrails. But before we get into the specifics, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to start up Fresh and Alive?
Yeah, it's a strange path, but I grew up in North Carolina in the South and went to school for electrical engineering. I was always interested in science and engineering, because I grew up with kids whose fathers were engineers and scientists. And so, you know, I went off to school and got educated in that area, and like most people, just took for granted what I was being told was the truth. And then eventually, I got a job, various jobs working in technology. And I had also had jobs working in the medical system in hospitals and various positions. And so so I spent about 28 years working in the medical system with technology. And so probably 10 years of that was working at the North Carolina Hospital Association, doing various tech jobs there and running their data center. And so I got to see the medical system up close and how it worked. I'd actually worked in hospitals at the patient level in emergency rooms. And then I'd worked all the way up to the state and national policy level with the hospital association. Mm-hmm. So I saw the so-called healthcare system up close and personal, from the patient level all the way to the national policy level. And wouldn't you know it, too, I was sick my entire life. I was born hypoglycemic. And so by the time I reached my early 30s, I was very hypoglycemic. And actually, a guy who sold toner cartridges, I had a conversation with him at work when he was trying to sell me toner, and he told me about his sister who had hypoglycemia and healed it with diet. And so that was like a revelation to me, because at that point I was eating two Cokes and two candy bars every morning from the vending machine for breakfast. And so, you know, had no idea that had anything to do with my problems. But so I listened to what he said, and I started looking at the possibility of diet and nutrition having something to do with it. And in fact, ultimately did wind up bumping into people that showed me how to heal my problems naturally with food and detoxification. And so, I got out of the medical industry to become a potter. And so while I was being a potter down here in Florida, people would come to our house to visit, and we had this very different lifestyle than most people, because we eat mostly uncooked, living, you know, vegetarian food. Mm-hmm. And so it would never fail when I'd meet somebody new, they'd come to the house and I'd have to have a 2 or 3 hour conversation with them about why we live the way we live. And so after about the 8th time of that, I was complaining to a friend, and he said, well, you ought to do a workshop to get your friends off your back and just show them all this stuff. And I thought, brilliant. So I did that. I had about 15 people, and I showed them all, spent a whole day with them and showed them everything I knew about this stuff. And then they went off, and I thought, great, now they'll leave me alone. But they went and told people, and so my phone started ringing, so I had to do another one. And then they went and told people, and I had to do another one, and it just kept growing and growing and growing really fast. And so then 9/11 happened, and the pottery business I was doing just tanked when 9/11 hit, and the living food stuff was just going gangbusters. So I figured, well, you know, this is an easy way to make a living. Mm-hmm. So I just went down that path, and that's how I got started. When I decided to do it full time, I started seeking out people around the world that were really curing incurable diseases, and studied with them and learned their tricks. And so over the years, I just picked some of the greatest minds around the world on how to heal so-called incurable disease. And when you understand how to regenerate cells and how to heal the emotions and reprogram unconscious beliefs that are limiting and self-defeating, there's nothing you can't heal.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well,
so that's how I got into all of this.
Fukushima radiation is an issue, yet we hear nothing about it in the news. But chemtrails, however, are being spoken about in mainstream news as a positive geoengineering project.
Yeah, mainly by David Keith, the Harvard professor. But yeah, when Fukushima happened, I knew immediately when that went down, because I already had studied the effects from Chernobyl that was heavily suppressed in the United States and really globally. So I knew already that there was damage around the U.S. in infant mortality rates and sterility and all kinds of stuff. And so I thought, well, this Fukushima thing looks a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so the moment that I heard it, heard that it happened, I immediately went out and spent a huge amount of money on sprouting seeds and food so that
I could
get pretty radioactive food.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about what I could do to solve the problem here at my house, because all the solutions I wound up coming up with for other people ultimately are really to save my own butt. And so so I kept thinking, I wonder if there's anybody who has any kind of scalar energy devices that might knock that stuff out of the sky. Because years before, I had developed a device called a stress shield that was a little personal little box that you carry with you about the size of a cell phone that de-stresses you and gets you into deep sleep and stuff. And so I was familiar with scalar technology. I knew how to make it. And I thought, I wonder if there's anybody out there using that to knock this stuff out of the sky. So I started doing some Googling. It turns out there are thousands of people all around the world that are knocking this stuff out of the sky with homemade devices. Mm-hmm. And none of them really understood the technology, and none of them had the advanced tech that I had. And so I thought, wow, I'm going to play with this and see what I can do. And so I spent a year. I thought it would take about 3 months, but it took like a year, and I just busted it and finally came up with a device that will clear chemtrails and pollution and nuclear fallout out of the sky for about a 75-mile radius.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I want to let you have lots of space and tell us basically how we can protect ourselves from the heavy metals and radioactive particles in the atmosphere, but you also integrate it with scalar energy and the mechanics of the mind-body connection. Maybe you can explain some of that.
Well, first of all, to protect oneself against the environment, you can make some inexpensive devices out of a material that's been called organite. And if you go online and just search on Chemtrail Buster or Cloud Buster, you'll find videos and information on how to build them. And basically what you do is take some small metal particles like shavings that you can get from a machine shop, some crystals and fiberglass resin. You mix them all up together, and when the fiberglass hardens up, it shrinks, it tightens up around the crystals, and that creates a scalar field, and the metals will disperse it. So you can do that to create devices that will clear all of the junk in the sky, chemtrails, nuclear fallout, air pollution, in a radius of about 20 or 30 miles if you do it right. So that's one thing you can do very simply to protect your environment. Once the damage has already been done and you've got this stuff on your property and in your yard and in your environment, you can actually use microbes to clean it up and fungus. So, for example, there's a product called Effective Microorganisms. We sell it on our website, freshandalive.com. And you mix it with water, and you can spray it on your yard, on your plants. It actually acts like a plant food, and it does all kinds of beneficial things. Mm. But those microbes will break toxins down and make them non-toxic. And then fungus and mushrooms, you can plant those in your yard, in the ground, and in trees and woods and stuff. And they will break toxins down as well. And then within your body, you can detox these, pull these toxins and even radioactive isotopes out of the body with supplements like zeolites, which are a mineral that are really good at pulling radiation out of the body. You can use certain herbs like, chlorophyll for one, anything with chlorophyll. So wheatgrass juice, chlorella, anything that's high in chlorophyll is going to do that. Certain medicinal mushrooms like reishi and shiitake and things like that will do it. I tend to buy herbal blends that have all of those in them. So, for example, there's a company called God's Herbs that has a radiation formula, and so I'll use that. But predominantly I use zeolites to pull this stuff out of the body. And so that's what you can do practically to take care of yourself. And then you wanted to talk about the mind-body connection with this stuff. Well, what happens when your body gets full of physical toxins, your brain is a generator of electrical activity and sound and scalar waves. And scalar waves are just these high-frequency types of waves. They're a subtle energy that's really kind of like the fabric of the universe. They travel through the universe through all matter and energy, and they're really what creates the matter and energy that we're familiar with. When these faster-than-light scalar waves slow down, they can coagulate into the conventional electromagnetic energy that we're familiar with, and also it can turn into matter. And what makes it do that is consciousness itself. So this energy is like zipping through the cosmos, and it's spiraling in branching as it goes, which are known as fractals. So it's spiraling fractals of energy that's going much, much faster than the speed of light. And it flows from the center of universes out to galaxies, from the center of the galaxies out to all of the suns in those galaxies, and then from those, from the central suns to the farther away suns. And then from those suns, it goes out into the planets, and then from the planets, it goes into us. And so if you look at what's being shown, well, for example, like the Earth's magnetic field, we know that the Earth's magnetic field is like a donut. It's a torus. And so the energy flows into one pole, and it flows out the other. And our bodies also have this torus-shaped field. So do solar systems. So do galaxies. So do universes. So you've got this torus-shaped energy that is like a structure that's recurring through all scales of size throughout the cosmos, from the galactic down to the subatomic. And this energy is flowing, you know, from these larger nodes to these smaller nodes, and it comes into us through our DNA and through the what the Chinese call the acupuncture meridians and through the brain and the neural pathways. And the way that it does that is because we have these superconducting minerals in our bodies, known as monoatomic elements, also known as ormus. And those minerals plug into these superconducting junctures all along our nervous system and our spine and in our brain and the neural pathways and in our DNA. And because they're superconductors, they can pick up extremely weak fields. And so that is where consciousness meets physicality in the body. So the more toxic you are, those toxins will get in there and plug up those junctures. And that's why, for example, acupuncturists will stick a needle in them and mechanically open them up. And typically it's temporary because you don't change the habits of your eating and your lifestyle to stop clogging it up. So it's like, you know, people go and eat a cheeseburger or whatever, and they clog it back up, and then they go to the acupuncturist, and they get stuck and open it, open the juncture back up. But if you're eating regenerative diet and detoxing the body constantly, then that doesn't happen, and those openings stay open. The superconductivity is high, and therefore the scalar energy flows really well. And that's what the Chinese call the flow of qi. You know, they talk about blockages of qi and all of that. So the mind-body connection is this scalar energy of consciousness that flows through everything, and it comes in through us, through the DNA and the nervous system, the brain, and it's continually creating matter or recreating matter moment by moment. And that's how we create our reality. So if you understand that, you can live the way we were designed to live, which is not immersed in electromagnetic fields and eating live food that's high in nutrients and high in these superconducting ormus elements. And what will happen is it will enhance your consciousness, it will make you smarter, it will make you happier, it will look better, I mean everything. You know, it just, it's a whole ball of wax. So that's kind of, you know, what people can do to protect themselves, and then how they can go beyond just surviving into thriving and having a great time and being uplifted through all the craziness that's going on the planet.
Now, what about earthing technologies? Do you recommend that as well?
Yeah, earthing is a really good concept, and it's like the people that they're proponents of it. You know, they have a lot of good information about it. It definitely, when your brain picks up this pulsing in the Earth's atmosphere called the Schumann resonance, and it's created by these energies coming down to the surface of the Earth and then bouncing back up and hitting the ionosphere and then bouncing back and forth between the two of them at about 7.68 cycles per second. So our brains and our bodies are trained with that pulsing, and they're designed to do that so that the Earth's pulse will relax us and slow us down and get us into deep sleep states at night. And because of all the man-made electro pollution on the planet, because of just all the toxic things that we're doing, and the electric grid and all the man-made electrical devices on the planet, we've accelerated the Schumann resonance to about double of what it should be. So instead of being relaxed and listening to calm, you know, the heartbeat of our mother, very nice and calm, we're listening to disco 24/7. So it doesn't matter where on the planet you are, you're going to be stressed to some degree by that. And so grounding and earthing, what that does is it reconnects you to the Earth, and it helps ground off the EMF that is passing through your body constantly from all this man-made pollution. So it helps, but it's not the only solution out there. And you can do it wrong and actually increase the EMF in your body. It's like if you plug these, for example, these sheets into the outlet in your bedroom, and you're connected into the wiring of your house, well, your house wiring is actually an antenna for EMF, so you're becoming part of that circuit, which is not a good idea, because then you're increasing the EMF.
Now there's smart grid technology, so it's kind of becoming unavoidable. They're implementing it everywhere.
Right, but what you can do is just run a wire into the ground, into a metal stake, and, you know, ground them to that, and have, you know, the grounding effect, proper grounding effect. But with all this, I'm actually getting ready to release a blog article and video about smart meters and all that, because it doesn't matter what the problem comes up. When you understand fundamentals like the flow of energy through the cosmos and how matter manifests, the same energies and polarities that are creating all of these problems, their opposite polarities create the solution simultaneously.
That's right.
So you can't have one without the other. So all you have to do is look around to see, you know, if you know what the problem is, start looking around for the solution and you'll find it. You know, if you look long enough, you'll find it because they're out there. That's why I started looking when I saw this Fukushima stuff. I went, okay, I already know that you can neutralize nuclear radiation because I've witnessed that done. So what can I do with it? How can I do this? And so there's always a solution, and when you get that, then you don't have to worry about this stuff. You don't have to get in fear about what a crazy mess that these, you know, so-called leaders of our planet come up with, because there's always a counter to whatever crazy stuff they're coming up with.
And that's right. I also see tons of gadgets being sold on the internet to protect us from EMF, but which ones can you recommend? And also, I wanted to ask, is there some kind of placebo effect that's happening with some of those?
There can always be a placebo effect, and you have to ask yourself, you know, what is the placebo effect? It's just us creating our reality. So you could intentionally create a placebo effect and protect yourself from EMF. I mean, just like, for example, you could get out in your backyard with a group of friends and do a meditation circle and create a scalar wave vortex and clear the skies of radiation and chemtrails. You know, we have that power.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you'd have to be out there 24/7 doing it, so you know, it's impractical, so we create these devices. But as far as what devices, you know, to recommend, pretty much all of the passive EMF devices are very similar, and there's basically two technologies. One is where you take some nanocrystals of quartz, which is just, you know, quartz particles that are extremely small on a scale of just a few atoms bundled together in one particle. And when you get that scale of fine particle, those fine particles can become antennas for this scalar energy. And so when you've got a lot of them all together, they will put off a scalar field, and those scalar fields will structure electromagnetic radiation that's damaging. And it doesn't block it, because if you blocked it, for example, your cell phone wouldn't work. So what it does is these waves coming off, for example, a cell phone or any wireless device, they're very random and chaotic. They're shooting all around the place. They're bouncing around all over the place. But when they come into to a properly structured scalar field, the scalar field will take all that random chaotic energy and make all the waves become parallel. In physics, that's known as coherence. And so when they become coherent, when they pass through your body, they interfere with cellular communication much, much less. And so, you know, it can knock down like 90% or so of that noise in the background. And so your cells are trying to talk to each other constantly with radio waves and scalar waves and electrical impulses and chemistry and sound. And so, you know, if you've got this EMF noise in the background, it's like driving down the road listening to the radio, and there's some static on the radio. And if there's a little bit of static, you can listen just fine and tolerate it. But if the static gets too loud, there's just no point in even trying to listen to the radio. And that's what goes on with your cells. So those passive devices structure the chaotic energy and make it coherent so it's much quieter. And there's two basic technologies. One is either using those nanocrystals or taking a material, any material, and zapping it with scalar energy in a specific way, and that will rearrange the nucleus of the atoms of the material, and the nuclei, the geometry of the nuclei will change so that it's geometrically arranged differently, but it's still the same substance, and that will become an antenna for the scalar energy that's all around us, and so then that material will become a scalar wave transceiver. So they work about the same, a different approach, but they work pretty well, and it's become a very common technology now. So as far as quality of them goes, most of them are about the same quality. Some, particularly some of the older ones that have been around a long time, aren't as good as some of the newer ones, but you don't need to spend a lot of money on that stuff. You know, $30-$40 for a cell phone protector is really tops that you should have to spend.
Yeah, it's worth it too. Mm-hmm. Now, what about all this?
You can feel a difference.
Yeah, I need to try that. I haven't tried that yet. Shame on me.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, when I first tried 1 year ago, what I noticed, I had the misfortune of being stuck on a cell phone for 3 hours, and usually I never, ever talk on a cell phone. And normally 10 minutes on a cell phone, my ear would be hot and I'd have a headache.
Yeah.
But with one of those protectors, 3 hours, no heat and no headache. So they definitely work.
And one for your laptop as well, if you have wireless?
Yeah, I put them on everything. I put them on my computers. I put them on my cordless phones. I put one on the main breaker of my house or any building I'm in, so that that structures all the electricity flowing through the house, so that all those electrons flowing become coherent as well. And then anything that's in that circuit in your house is going to be put out much smaller fields. So I have them all over the place.
You also had a suggestion for people with insomnia. I know right now there's a lot of spiritual energies, and then you talk about these physical energies. So what is something that someone can do if they're having trouble sleeping at night and getting good sleep?
Well, anytime you have any kind of a health issue, you always have to get testing to find out what the real nature of it is. Because, for example, you know, I make this device called the Rest Shield that will pull you into really deep sleep. But if your issues are around emotional stuff or stress or toxicity in the body, something like that's not going to work. So the first thing to do is get testing. Find out what the nature of it is. What kind of testing? You know, usually the medical tests that doctors do aren't very indicative of what's going on in your body. And I know, because I used to work in a pathology lab doing that testing. The kinds of tests that I like to do on myself are quantum biofeedback, which there's a device called a QXCI-SCIO, S-C-I-O, and there's also another one called a ZYTO, Z-Y-T-O. And those machines, you get hooked up to electrodes, and it measures the scalar signatures of every cell and every atom in your body, and it can tell, it compares your reading with a database of known values, and it can tell if you've got heavy metals, if you've got parasites, if you've got toxins, if you've got cancer or whatever, you know. They're not allowed to be used as diagnostic machines, but in truth, it can tell you a lot about what's going on. And then I will also get a hair analysis, which will show heavy metals and specifically, you know, what kinds and what quantities, and it will show mineral deficiencies and imbalances. And then once you know that, then what I do with myself, because I've run myself into the ground and had to do this, then I know what I need to supplement, and I take in food-based supplements that the body can absorb and build up those, get rid of those deficiencies, and also detox the body using various cleansing techniques. And once you do that, if you cleanse toxins, get rid of acid in the body, stop eating cooked food, do a lot of juicing, raw green food, and do all that, then the sleep problems will go away.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do know that when I first developed this stress shield technology, I slept 8 hours a night and I felt fine. I had lots of energy, felt great. And I didn't know I was missing out on anything. And it wasn't until I built the stress shield and I slept with it, and all of a sudden it was like somebody hit me over the head with a hammer. and what I found out was I had never slept deeply my whole life. And so that's what, I tell people, if you think that you're sleeping just fine, well, try sleeping with one of these scale devices that will really lower your brain states into delta and theta brainwave states. Because when you do that, then you really know what sleep feels like. And then you heal up faster, you have more energy, you feel better, just everything.
Yeah, I find right now it's very astral. Like when I'm going to sleep at night, I can hear a lot of noise out there. And I shelter myself from the world pretty good, but it's difficult to shut it out some nights.
Yeah, and of course, there's always all kinds of energies of consciousness and astrological energies coming onto the planet these days. But particularly if you're in a Schumann resonance scalar field, like my whole house, I've got these pyramids around the house, and so I'm immersed in a Schumann resonance scalar field 24/7. And so the only time I notice any of that stuff is when I'm away from it.
Mm-hmm.
If I go stay at somebody's house or they live in an apartment and they're surrounded by Wi-Fi, I can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff we have to deal with.
People probably feel good when they come over to your house. They don't want to go, huh?
Oh, they do. Absolutely. I just had a client who came from out of state, and she spent the night, and she didn't want to leave. We're on 5 acres. It's very pretty, and it's very relaxing to begin with, but then these devices, usually when people come here, they'll sleep for like 12, 14 hours.
That's great. Because
they're so bereft of real sleep.
Hey, another area is GMOs. I mean, they're taking over. So how can we prevent damage if we end up consuming these?
That's a really good question. Because I've had to deal with that myself personally. I've gone over to people's houses and eaten, or gone to supposedly organic potlucks,
mm-hmm.
and gotten sick from GMOs. The cool thing is you can heal the damage in your body simply by eating a regenerative live food diet, detoxifying the body, and getting nutrients in. The body will repair the DNA. But then what do we do about the plants that are already genetically engineered? What if, Monsanto and these other companies engineer the entire environment to where, everything has been contaminated with these GMO seeds? Well, we still don't have to worry, because there is still a way to reverse it all. And this is, I came across this about 2 years ago and I was really excited when I saw it. One of the things that, I was at a conference in Georgia, an Ormus conference, which is all about these monoatomic minerals. And there was a guy there who was selling this plant food called SHOT, S-H-O-T. And he basically had a property, I think, in Idaho. It had a very unique deposit of these minerals that came from these various streams that all collected in one place. So it was a very, very high Ormus sediment, and he was taking it and mixing it with bat guano and different things, and he made this plant food. And the plant food was so regenerative and so high in Ormus that when they fed it to heirloom plants and GMO plants, it would revert the DNA back to the original heirloom.
That's amazing.
Which was, it was absolutely mind-blowing. But this is what I see when you really understand the real nature of matter and energy and science, that even if they muck up our DNA, or we muck up our DNA, we can still fix it, because the actual pattern, the genetic pattern, is not in the DNA. The DNA is a carrier of the blueprint. It's not the blueprint itself. The actual blueprint is in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless your consciousness is obliterated, you can still rebuild the DNA from the pattern in the consciousness. And so apparently that's what's going on with these plants, is that, you know, this DNA or this genetic pattern is in the aura, so to speak, of the plants. And when you feed them these superconducting minerals, it plugs into their DNA and it unwinds the GMO DNA and reverts it back to the original heirloom, which is really cool.
Wow, yeah.
So one of my goals is to, in the future, to develop some Ormus supplements that will do that with human beings, because I think we'll probably need to do that before we get back on the right path with everything.
Yeah, that's right. Another thing you recommended was blue-green algae, right, from Klamath Falls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Klamath Lake algae because it's super high in Ormus and chlorophyll both. And so it's very regenerative. It gives you a lot of energy. It heals a lot of stuff. It stimulates stem cell growth in the bones. There's a lake up in Oregon called Klamath Lake, and it's right next to extinct volcanoes. And so those volcanoes.
I'm from Oregon, so I know where that is.
Okay, yeah. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And the lake is surrounded, by the way, by these mountains that are volcanic. So the lake is full of volcanic ash, and the algae feeds on that volcanic ash. And so one of the ways that you can liberate this Ormus for your, you know, for your own ingestion, to get into your body, is you can either feed it to plants or you can feed it to ferment and let the microbes break it down and make it bioavailable, or the plants will make it bioavailable. So the algae does exactly that. It eats this volcanic ash, which is full of minerals and full of Ormus. And then when you ingest it, it plugs into the nervous system and those superconducting junctures and in the brain, and everything works better. Things regenerate. You're smarter. You have better memory. All of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I'm a big fan of blue green algae.
I need to try that. What does it taste like?
It tastes a little like, you know, a little fishy, like seaweed. But what I do is just take 2 to 4 tablespoons and put it in a glass of. I make this whole cocktail of nutrients that I take every day, so I throw it in there. And if you water it down, it doesn't taste bad at all.
Yeah. See, the problem with juicing, I guess for me, I'm really sensitive to sweet fruits. It just, you know, mm-hmm. they're high on the glycemic index, so it kind of shoots mm-hmm. me off into like a coma a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and you don't want to be juicing fruit juice very much anyway. But what you can do with stuff like that is heal the glands. Hypoglycemia and diabetes and gland issues like that, you can use herbs, herbal extracts to work on the glands and heal them. And when you get the endocrine glands healed up, then hormones regulate and blood sugar regulates and digestion regulates. And you don't have those blood sugar swings, so you can eat fruit or sugar. But usually when that happens, you don't really want much of that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And so you'll tend to crave chlorophyll and salads and things that are good for you.
I find licorice root does the trick, too, as well for your adrenal glands.
Yeah, there are a lot of herbs and foods that will help. You know, I had that problem years ago myself, really bad. And so, you know, I was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so I had to figure it out for myself. And so... So I found that like certain herbal companies have extracts designed specifically for the endocrine glands, and so I'll use a whole bunch of those and taking those and then eating right and you know, juicing and detoxifying, that will bring the glands back into balance, and then those issues go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other aspect we should cover is water fuel technology. How can that work to neutralize radiation in the body?
Oh, that's a good question, and not many people ask me about that. Back in the early 90s, I worked with a man named Ewell Brown who developed water-filled technology, and it's actually not new. He wasn't the original inventor of it. There was a guy in the 60s named Andrea Pruharich who developed it, and there were others before him dating all the way back to the 1800s. But basically, Brown, what he did was he would pulse electricity through water in a chamber that had metal pipes of very specific lengths and diameters and alloys, and the frequencies of electricity that he chose would make the water resonate inside of the pipes, and it would develop explosive force that would shatter the H2O molecular bonds. And so you would, instead of getting hydrogen and oxygen gas separately, you would get a fourth phase of water, which was a gas that he called HHO. And it's just a different stoichiometric arrangement of the atoms, so that instead of having two oxygens attached to a hydrogen, you've got an oxygen attached to an oxygen, and then that's attached to a hydrogen. It's a really weird configuration, but it makes a gas that will burn.
Mm.
And when it burns, it burns with a blue flame. It looks like, you know, kind of like a propane flame, but it has really, really weird quantum properties. So when you burn stuff with it, it will rearrange the atomic particles and subatomic particles of the material. So you can weld anything to anything with it. I had one of these machines back in the 90s, and you know, you could weld plastic to metal or glass to wood or anything to anything, because it would weld it at the subatomic level. Mm-hmm. So Brown figured out that, and he demonstrated this. I saw this with a team of engineers and physicists using measuring equipment, that you could take that flame and you could burn stuff with it like radioactive waste, and it would rearrange the subatomic structure and make it non-radioactive. Mm-hmm. And so he did that, and he demonstrated it. He went all over the country demonstrating that, and of course he was ultimately assassinated for it. But he kind of got the ball rolling, you know, back in the late 80s and early 90s, and then other people came along like Stanley Meyer and developed their versions, and unfortunately some of them were assassinated too, but increasingly more and more people became aware of it and how to make it, and so there are lots of people around the globe now making it that are just kind of, you know, quietly doing it with them, yeah, by themselves. So it's just a matter of time before that hits out in the mainstream. As a matter of fact, as you guys know, I mean, you guys interviewed M.T. Keshe on your show, who's coming out with all kinds of free energy technologies and other stuff with his magnetic plasma. So, you know, there's just so many different kinds of technologies that are busting out that I think it's just a matter of time before the powers that be can't keep suppressing it.
That's right. And that's right. One of the other errors you speak about is breaking free and healing from trauma-based mind control. I mean, let's face it, most of what we experience on Earth is some kind of trauma-based mind control. Can you speak a little bit about
this? Yeah, most people don't realize, of course, because, I mean, you know, if you're mind... I always ask people, hey, if you're mind-controlled, do you know it?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you a funny story before I get into it. I did a talk for 2 hours about this very subject in Houston, and I recorded it, and I turned it into an audio CD, and it's on my website. It's called Escape from Alcatraz, Breaking Free of Your Mind Prison. And it's been out on the market for like a year. And you know how many of those I've sold? It's like $30. I've sold two. So I'm guessing that people look at that and either they go, well, that's too expensive, or they go, well, I'm not mind controlled. Yeah, I don't need this.
Exactly.
And in fact, you're exactly right. We're all mind controlled, mm-hmm, you know, all of us. And some people are more aware of it than others, But you know, I mean, it's been going on for eons. You know, the powers that be on the planet throughout time have realized that, you know, they can manipulate the minds of the masses to further their agendas. And so in modern times, with our technologies we have now, it's become very heinous in the way that they do it. But they figured out when you traumatize somebody, especially severely and repeatedly, the mind will disassociate. It's like when you're in a car wreck and you forget what happened. And I used to work in a emergency room, hospital emergency room, and I would see this. People go, "What happened?" And you could tell them what happened, and 2 minutes later they'd ask again, "What happened?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the mind locks away in the unconscious. It compartmentalizes trauma and it locks it away, so you forget about it. And so if you intentionally traumatize somebody, especially severely and repeatedly, then they will lock that trauma away over and over again and compartmentalize it. But then it makes them develop, if it's in extreme cases, it will make them develop very strong visual acuity and enhanced hearing and all sorts of abilities that would be very useful for, you know, governments and military to use. And
that's
so, in
right.
fact, they have systematized that where they do that. They take people and or traumatize them severely, repeatedly, drug them, create mind control subjects out of them, and use them for various purposes, from assassinations to disseminating misinformation. So I started hearing about this probably about the same time back in the early 90s. And I just thought, wow, you know, I read a few books about it that were pretty gruesome, and then I met Kathy O'Brien, who wrote a book about it quite extensively, and what they were saying rang true, and I just thought, wow, this is like, it shattered my whole worldview. But then in my workshops, I was teaching workshops in natural healing, and I started bumping into people who had been mind controlled. And when I would talk about the subject of mind control in my workshop, these people would come up and like, oh my God, you know, these are some of the things I've experienced. And so I started learning about it through that, through these people that had been exposed to it. And then, and also, you know, sometimes I would go to conferences, particularly on suppressed information, and very often there would be people there presenting or infiltrating the audience that were mind controlled. And, you know, once you understand the symptoms and the techniques of mind control, the people tend to act like tape recorders. They tend to have these scripts that they run on. And they can sometimes they can be the most normal, lovable people you'd ever meet. Sometimes they can be weird. But if you get around them long enough, you'll see that they've got some weird stuff going on. And if you don't understand mind control techniques, then you wouldn't necessarily know that's what's going on. But it is extremely widely used. I mean, of course, the media, you know, the mainstream media in every form uses mind control extensively. People are basically having their whole realities crafted for them. And so, you know, that's why I don't watch television. I don't expose myself to mainstream media. I'm very, very particular about what I expose my mind to at all because, you know, the unconscious mind records everything.
It gets in there.
Yeah, so I want to expose my mind to uplifting, empowering things, not negativity and fear and all that kind of stuff. And so... so that's something that I teach in my workshops is, you know, how to empower yourself and live an uplifting life amidst all the craziness that's on this world.
That's right. Now, ETs, many inventors and cutting-edge minds have claimed that they've received info from ETs. Have you had any personal experiences?
Just my whole life. And this is actually a topic that I don't get to talk about much, and it's like you were saying, I would say most, if not all, inventors out there and scientists that are doing really cutting-edge stuff, especially, are having ET contact of some form or another.
Yeah.
I started noticing this. I have indeed had ET contact, and it evolved throughout my life when I was young and I was a kid. It just came as very unusual, very vivid, colorful dreams. And on a few occasions, I have memories of you know, being a little kid and being woke up in the middle of the night with a bright light outside the window of my bedroom and a humanoid figure in silhouette in my room, and just, you know, flashes like that. And I just thought they were just weird dreams at the time. And, you know, I'm sharing a bedroom with my brother on a bunk bed, and he never, you know, ever had any inkling of anything. So I just assumed that I was just having weird dreams. And then later, it evolved into more overt kinds of altered states and things, sometimes in the dream state, and eventually reached the point where I started having conversations. Well, my whole life I'd been given pictures and ideas and information in my head that kind of made me question the whole status quo reality. But I'd say in my 20s when I got into engineering school and I was studying all of this quantum physics and stuff, and I would get a lot of information. Well, then these ETs start talking to me in my head. And so I said, well, you know, if you're really extraterrestrials or whatever, and you're not just me talking to myself, then I need to see you physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so for years they resisted, but eventually they did wind up showing up. And I had a witness with me, which they said, you know, was so that I wouldn't think I was just manufacturing all in my head.
Were they friendly?
I didn't. They were friendly. They were reptilian. They were very, very large. There were three of them. It was in the woods. It was actually very interesting, knowing what I know now about Ormus. It was very, very, I guess, very interesting way it happened. I was at an event at a farm, and there was a spring at the farm that had been dug out into a little pool, and there was the people that dug the pool out, there was quite a lot of mud from where they were digging it out, so they decided to build a serpent mound like the Native Americans used to do. And so it was basically just a bunch of hippies having a good time. But they would come and get together and party and dig the spring out and have a good time. And they did that for a few years. And they wound up building a mound about 65 feet long and, you know, maybe 2 feet high or so and maybe 3 feet wide. And being hippies, most of them, and artists and musicians and that type, they would bring stones and rocks and stuff and artifacts, and they would embed it in the mud. So So there's this big hole with a spring and this serpent mound with the tail coming up out of the spring. And I'm at this party at the farm, and one of the guys there says, "Hey, let's go down to the spring and meditate." And I thought, okay, cool. So we go down there, and we put our feet down in the water. Now, one of the things you have to understand about spring water, and one of the reasons why people in the know recommend drinking spring water, is because it's high in ormus. It's high in these superconducting minerals.
Yep.
The ormus actually levitates the water up to the surface because it's anti-gravitational, which is one of the properties of a superconductor. So we've got our feet hanging down in the water, and the best way to get ormus into your body is actually topically. So we're sitting there meditating in ormus water with our feet dangling down in it. And when they would want to talk to me, they would say, "We are here." So they say, "We are here," and they come in and they start talking to me. And I say to the guy, "You're not going to believe this, but I got reptilian ETs talking to me in my head." And he said, "Yeah, they're talking to me too."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yeah." And so we sat there, and they said, I said, "Well, what do you want?" You know, and they said, "Well, we're here physically. We want you to meet us." And so they said, "Open your eyes up." So we both opened our eyes up, and when we did, our jaws dropped because maybe 50 yards away in the woods were these three huge reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, the small one was about 12 feet high. The large one was about maybe 18 feet high. And it was right at dusk, so they were backlit by the setting sun. It was down in a valley, and it was pretty dim. So all I could see was they were very muscled, and they had scales, and they were dark, like army olive drab. And what struck me was their heads looked like Mr. Worf on Star Trek. They had these ridges going down the right and left sides of their skull, and then they had one going down the middle, down to their nose. And they were just kind of standing there, kind of swaying back and forth, and they were talking to us telepathically. And they had refused for a few years to show physically because they said that our DNA was programmed to fear them and that it would traumatize me and that would interfere with the work that they wanted to do with me. And they were right because, after about 30 seconds of standing there trying to figure out, doing double and triple takes and smacking myself in the face to figure out if I was hallucinating, I finally realized it was real, and then I got really scared, and I just told the guy next to me, I was like, "Let's get the hell out of here," and we ran back to the house.
Wow.
And so later that night, you know, when I was going to bed, they started talking to me again. They said, "Well, we told you," and so
I wonder what they wanted to teach you.
Well, I wanted validation that they were real, and because early on when they started giving me information, I mean, they would go on, for example, like they went on for about a year and a half about gold. They would tell me things about gold that it's like, it was interesting, but it's like, so what? You know, they would say things like, "Well, gold is used by extraterrestrials for time and dimension travel because it remains the same in different dimensions of time and space." And so I'd go, "Okay, so what? You know, I still got to pay the rent." And it was all interesting, but it didn't really have any relevance to my life. Because, at that time I was working a corporate job. I wasn't an inventor or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kept feeding me all this information over the years, but I would always question it, and I would always be wondering if, you know, I was deluding myself. And so I think ultimately they knew that if they showed up, that would end, and I wouldn't, I wouldn't be so skeptical. And so they were right, because for about 2 years I was really terrified I was going to get abducted. And, I was in a lot of fear for a while, and then eventually all that passed. And I came to trust and recognize when they were giving me information. And so that evolved to the point where they don't even talk to me much consciously anymore. Mostly what they do now is give me downloads in the dream state. And then when I'm encountering stuff in the waking state, it's like I access the information and see pictures or whatever. But that's happening with a lot of people on this planet, probably millions, and definitely with these cutting-edge scientists and inventors. You know, whether they are consciously aware of it or not, they're being fed information from other sources outside of the three-dimensional domain.
Well, I wish they'd talk to some people in positions of power and tell them to.
Well, they are, unfortunately. I mean, this is not this is not like something that is just occurring in our time or that it's an unusual or unique thing. This is how the universe has always worked.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been these types of beings that live outside of the frequency range of three-dimensional reality, and they have always interacted with us, and the powers that be on this planet have always interacted with them.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're just like people. Some of them are angels and some of them are demons,
That's
so to
right.
speak. And the ones that our leaders are choosing to operate with are the ones that are not uplifting in general
yeah.
for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else that they showed me that made a lot of sense as to why, you know, why all this negativity is occurring on the planet, why all of these, you know, these world leaders and the extraterrestrials or interdimensionals that they're working with, why they're so psychopathic or sociopathic from our viewpoint. It's because one of the reasons why these reptiles also were coming back into our time and space was to understand human nurturing of their young and how we raise our young, because the reason that they're so sociopathic or psychopathic is because they don't have emotions the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have children, you know, they're reptilian in particular. There were other ones. I saw other types as well, but these reptilians, they hatch eggs, and those eggs are taken to a central nursery. And they're hatched, and those children never, ever meet their parents. It's kind of like, you know, like how some reptiles here on Earth do. They lay
yeah.
their eggs, and then they go on about their business, and the eggs hatch, and the babies come out. Well, that's the way they did theirs in their society. They had these central government-run nurseries, if you want to say government, that these babies were hatched out of and raised out of. So they had no emotional connection to their parents, and therefore they had very stunted emotions, and they were very, like I say, like psychopathic from our viewpoint. It was kind of dog eat dog. And so that's why, you know, you see that same kind of heartless cruelty with a lot of our world leaders. It's because they're interacting with these extraterrestrials, and in exchange, basically what these ETs have done is set up this planet as like a farm to be, you know, to harvest us for
yeah.
our emotional energy.
That's right.
And in exchange, you know, these world leaders get information and knowledge that allows them to stay in power and keep their power and wealth. And so when you understand that, then you can understand why these people would, you know, would act the way they act.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, there are others that say that they've interbred with, you know, human beings and that kind of stuff, which
hybrids.
Is ripped up. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of that going on. But, you know, that's why we are seeing this kind of fever pitch of it's really like this biblical parting of the ways. You know, it's like on one hand, it's a more uplifting and empowering time to be on this planet than ever before. And on the other hand, lots and lots of people are self-destructing and dying and getting sick and living in fear than ever before. And it's because, you know, we've come to this point where we've kind of got to choose between these two paths.
So as 2012 begins to come to an end, do you think things are going to get worse before they get better? Or it's still kind of unknown?
That's a really good question because, you know, it's like when Y2K was coming along. I was in charge of a data center, and I didn't have any problem getting anything done preparing for Y2K, and nobody I knew in the IT field had any problem, but there were all these fearful projections about all this horrible stuff that was going to happen. And, you know, basically you just had to spend some money to take care of the problem. And so I think it's the same thing with 2012. You know, I mean, people back then, a lot of people manifested a lot of trauma and turmoil for
mm-hmm.
themselves, and the same thing's going on right now. And so what I've been told by these reptiles is it's more and more important than ever to be very, very clear about the reality that you create and to create an uplifting, abundant one amidst the turmoil and the chaos. And so for some people, 2012 may be some big traumatic event. For other people, it won't be. And, you know, as far as, you know, what's going to happen, like if something's going to happen on December 21st or whatever, I don't have any idea. But my feeling is, based on everything that I've been told, that I don't think anything obviously cataclysmic is going to happen. I think what will happen is there will be a big energy shift when that galactic alignment hits, and people will manifest with it based on whether they're living in fear or not. And so for some, it will be an acceleration of misery, and for others, it will be an acceleration of upliftment.
Yeah, that's right.
but I don't really have a clue as to what's really going to happen. These reptiles told me years ago that we had already passed the point of self-destruction, that the world controllers were not going to succeed in destroying things. So I don't worry about it.
So as we begin to wind down, would you like to share any of your near-death experiences?
Yeah, I was very blessed when I was like 19 years old to have a motorcycle wreck, and I died in the road because when that happened, it really, really gave me an appreciation for life. So I've always just really sucked the marrow out of life as much as I can, and I've really, go for it. And it's because, on one occasion when I was a little kid, I fell out of a tree and nearly impaled myself.
Jeez.
And then in my, like, back 19 years old, I had a motorcycle wreck, and I hit a car and flew over it and got ripped up and died on the pavement. And, I was leaving my body, and I was going up toward the proverbial tunnel of light, and it wasn't unpleasant. It wasn't, particularly amazing or anything. I'm just going up this tunnel of light thinking, oh, this is interesting. And then I got pulled back into my body, and I was laying on the asphalt face up, but I didn't realize it. And I just came to, and there was this policeman. I kind of had tunnel vision, and there was this policeman talking to me, asking me if I was all okay. And I said, yeah, I'm great. And in fact, I was all cut up and bloody and messed up. But it gave me a real appreciation for what a gift it is just to be alive and to be physical. And there's just so many people I see that don't appreciate that. It's mainly because they're mind controlled. They're being mind controlled into believing that they're insignificant and that life's insignificant and it's just random and we're living in a random universe and they don't have any control over everything. If they understood that they could restructure matter with their minds and they're doing it continually with their own bodies, then they'd be radically empowered and changed. So
that's right.
That's I would say the biggest message, for me is that people need to understand that they are in control of their destiny and they physically create matter continually. And whatever you believe is true is what's true.
That's
if you
right.
think it's a random and chaotic universe, then it is. If you think life is a series of ups and downs, then it will be. If you think life is just going to get better and better and better, it will.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's been my experience. I've been very fortunate. I always felt like my life just gets better and better, and it always has.
That's right. We have to start taking responsibility for our manifestations,
Precisely. The good and the bad,
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of religious programming on this planet where people think it's, God subjecting his will on them or whatever, and that's not true. It can be very difficult at times to admit that the mess that you're in was your creation. I was listening to a video of a guy arguing about, with Esther Hicks about, the 6 million Jews that were killed in Nazi Germany, that they didn't choose that. And they had a very interesting response to it. But, these reptiles have drilled me over and over again that, yes, even the people that get hurt and killed, they do come into this reality with the understanding that that's a probable outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know all of the details. You may not come in. For example, it's like, all right, I'm a white guy. I'm born to a couple of white parents in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 1961. There's going to be certain probable realities that come out of that. It's going to be very different than if I'm born in the 30s in India or whatever, So, these reptiles have told me, and I've heard it elsewhere, that, we choose the probable reality that we come into. We choose our parents. We choose our lineage when we come in. And so if people truly got that, then a lot of the arguing and fighting and misery in the planet would go away, and people would start taking responsibility for themselves.
That's right. And when things fall apart, it could be a good thing for some people, because then it's at that point zero place where sometimes you can actually see through the window of opportunity and really see who you are and what you want.
Right. I mean, that's the only time we really grow. There was a guy named Ilya Prigogine who got the Nobel Prize in physics, and he wrote books about chaos theory. He wrote one called Order Out of Chaos. And one of the things that he discovered is that all living organisms, and actually he says open systems, but living organisms always, they have to, in order to grow, they have to step into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so all living organisms do that. They reach equilibrium for a while, and then they want to grow and expand, and then they step into chaos. So life is nothing but a series of equilibriums and chaos. So if you understand that, then when chaos is occurring, you can look at it and not judge it and not get uptight about it and go, oh, okay, well, I'm in chaos,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I, as I've gotten older, too, I just don't get uptight about stuff like that anymore. I just go with the flow.
Yep. Well, Ken, a big thank you for your time today. You've been very generous in giving us all this valuable information.
Oh, you're very welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
And please tell us about your website and what people can find there.
Okay, well, if they're looking for information, they should go to beyondrawfood.com. That's where I will either write or create videos, or I'll interview other people in all kinds of interesting stuff. So I'm going to be coming out soon with some information about smart meters and what to do about them, and how to prevent the EMF from them. There's a lot you can do. And then my website, mainly with my products, is freshandalive.com. And you know, that's where I have solutions for natural health solutions to, you know, maintain health or to heal disease. So, you know, everything from supplements and EMF protection to scalar devices to protect you or to put you into sleep, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So those are my two main ones.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone out there, eat well, think well, and you can create big. It all works together. We'll talk again soon.
You wired me awake and hit me with the hand of broken nail. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run. Too cold to start a fire, I'm burning diesel, burning dinosaur bones. I'll take the river down to Stillwater and ride a pack of dogs. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run. When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights. When the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage.